Welcome to our Board of County Commission meeting. This is a work session. We've got a pretty long agenda today of items to work through. So as a reminder, we'll not be taking any action today. It's just to work through items, to hear, ask and answer questions. So if it's all right with you, just jump right in. Looks like the first item on our agenda is the Willow Park transfer agreement, or just a discussion about that. I guess initially turn it over to the City of Lehigh.
Commissioners, I appreciate your time, and because of your long agenda, I'm happy to make my comments as brief as possible. And so I got a short presentation I'd like to go through. In fact, before we do, I actually have some handouts here, so I'll make sure everybody gets a copy of it. So.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Anybody else need a copy? So this is the item I had an opportunity to approach you guys, each one of you, I think, earlier on by either by personal visit or by phone call. And we've got an opportunity in Lehigh to enhance some park areas. We've kind of extended our budget beyond what we can do to purchase any more property. So we're trying to improve two large parcels that are of the nature and size for a regional park, but we've also been looking at Willow Park, and we've had some requests from our citizens to enhance that park and make some improvements in there that might be beneficial to the entire county. So what we'd like to do, we're aware of the a previous agreement that the commission entered into with Saratoga Springs, where they took over one of their parcels and or one of your parks, and they're maintaining it now. We'd like to make the same offering. And what we're offering is to either do it exactly like that or doing it with a 100-year lease. And as we do that, we'll make some improvements. So as you can see on the screen right now in the presentation, you'll see the park as it currently exists. And what we'd like to do is, at least in part, what some of our proposals are. Now, this park right now is of course, county-owned and has been for years. And our intent with taking over maintenance of this is to maintain this as a regional park. This is not a Lehigh park because if you look at its location and the facilities it will serve, our intent is to maintain this and improve this so it will might have the opportunity to better serve the general public in North Utah County and anybody else who wants to visit here. So some of the things we'd like to do in this park is we'd like to improve and expand the existing dog park and make it more inviting and more usable. That is one of the big requests that we've had in that area is if can we do something to make that dog park actually very attractive and would create a circumstance where more people would want to come. And we agree with that. We can do that, be happy to do that. We'd like to build a new parks facility on the premise to provide needed maintenance for Willow Park. Now, we talked to Richard about this in the past, and he was concerned about maintaining some staging areas for materials out there, and we'd be happy to do that. We'd do it in the same parking area and storage area that we would use in this new maintenance shed we intend to build there. And we'll come back and I'll talk about that a little bit more in detail, and you'll understand why we're interested in doing that. We want to maintain and upgrade the existing RV park that is there now. We'd like to provide more picnic areas and fire pits with covered shelters. We'd like to revegetate areas along the Jordan River and near the RV park with indigenous trees and plants. As you guys are very well aware, we have a constant battle with invasive species that are coming in, and we've been battling that problem in Lehigh as a whole, and we believe we can clear up this area here and get rid of some of those invasive species. We'd like to improve trail connectivity within the park. Right now, the Jordan River Trail kind of cuts through, and you have to actually walk on the road to get through it. We have some ideas how we'd like to improve that and have some additional connectivity from areas across the river and some adjacent parks that have just completed in town. I'll circle back on that a little bit as well. So we'd like to provide a county trail maintenance yard along with our yard, which will include that area for staging materials, provide road maintenance and snow removal for the entire park, and create manicured turf areas with pathways and other pedestrian gathering areas. Right now, regionally, if you look at this map, you'll see kind of the circumstance we find ourselves in. You can identify Willow Park, kind of the lower central part on the right side of that. But in the area, you can see the development that's in progress right now in those colored areas. Okay, that's the Cold Spring Ranch area. It's a master plan community. As part of that master plan community, they have a regional park just on the north side of this map that they're intending on building. We believe that the amenities in that would supplement the amenities that we're planning on doing in Willow Park. We have a bridge that has now been constructed that will connect the two. On the right side, you will see an existing, fishing pond, and serves also as an irrigation storage facility, and Ozer Park also there that will serve with soccer fields. They are planning a canoe and kayak launching area on the west side. What we intend to do is also improve the canoe and kayak launching area on the east side, which is part of your park now. But we have some intentions there to make that a more effective and inviting facility there. Okay, and in this map, you'll see the area. We want to make a pretty large, extensive enhancement to the dog park. As you guys, if you visited the dog park now, there was an Eagle Scout project, and it was a great little Eagle Scout project, but I emphasize the word little. It's a pretty small area. There's no gravel, there's no turf in there. If there's water on the ground, if it's rained at all, it's a mud pit. Nobody will take their dogs there. We want to enhance that with a gravel base, cleanup facilities, and we think we can make it very attractive, as mentioned before. On the north end of this, you'll see a maintenance area. We're not sure this is the exact location. This is all conceptual. But that is the area already where staging takes place. We'd like to continue that. And that's where we'll have our maintenance equipment for the trail system in there as well, and the park equipment. That's a good location in that general area because it will not only serve our existing parks, it will also serve the Willow Park area. You can see the areas that at the campground, and you can also see some areas where we want to reroute the trail system so that trail system does not interfere with vehicular traffic as it comes through the park. Okay. There's kind of a vertical diagram of the boat launch and the structure for the maintenance shed there. The boat launch, like I say, located where it is now, but we want to enhance it. I didn't even know we had these. We were talking about these on the way over, the canoe launch and the kayak launch, where you don't even have to get in the water. You just get in your kayak, slide down the ramp, get in the water, and there's some pretty neat little facilities. They have them up at Tibble Fork if you've been up there on their boat ramp. So it'll serve ADA purposes as well. So pretty effective units. Okay. So that's my presentation. I told you it'd be brief, but I'd like to know if you have any questions on how this agreement may work. I'm happy to answer that if I can. I have staff here that's been pretty heavily involved in there, and this is their proposal as well as mine. And so I'd like to answer any questions that you have.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And this is kind of exciting to look at, I think, as an opportunity there. On a security basis, I'm not sure now, if calls come in from that area, does it go to the sheriff's department or does it go to your law enforcement?
Well, if we take over the lease and we take over, or if it's a lease or a purchase like the other agreement, whichever one, I don't care. This is going to be patrolled by Lehigh City Police Department.
Okay.
Basically, we would consider the ownership of it. but the usage is a regional park. So we would treat it as if we own it, free and clear.
Okay. And I'm not familiar with that distinction. You've made it a number of times. What's the distinction you're making there in terms of a city park and a regional park?
Okay, so a city park usually just has city facilities, and it usually has activities that are dedicated to the citizens of the city. For instance, some of the parks we have now that have either baseball fields or soccer fields or lacrosse fields in them or whatever, those are typically just for city activities. Okay, our intention is not to limit this to city activities. We have a growing area in there, both in Saratoga Springs, Eagle Mountain. We'd expect Highland. We'd expect most of northern Utah County to participate in this facility. There's not an opportunity for a launch of this type in the Jordan River. We'd like to see more activities on that river. We'd like to see better usage on it. The Jordan River group is trying to promote that. We've been working with them in the past. We think this is a great opportunity, having a launch on both sides of the river to encourage use of that. We don't care where they live. We just want to make sure that it's available.
Now, I mean, and that's just the nature of the scale of the opportunity in the park. There's not really a difference in terms of, because in both cases, you're proposing the city has full costs for operations and maintenance. And I guess really your baseball example, I mean, I would imagine in all the parks, really the cities are welcome. I guess your rec center is an example where residents of Lehigh get a different deal.
Right.
So maybe that's the only distinction. But in this case, most of this stuff would not be fee generating. Perhaps the canoe, if there's rental or concession, I don't know if you're envisioning that.
That's a great idea. We hadn't thought about it.
But so in other words, it's only on those things or potentially at a regional park, you would not charge residents of the county different than residents of the city.
That's right.
In every other case, financially, it's the same as a city park.
That's right. So generally, and you're right, when you have a large scale park, people from all over come and use it. You can't patrol that. We realize that. Baseball fields, you usually have baseball fields that are staffed by city employees, but the rec leagues and the rec teams from the city. And so usually, unless you have a tournament that is paying for that use, those are city kids using those facilities, right? Because they paid into the program. Our baseball fields are going somewhere else. We're already planning them in a different park, and we're involved in that process right now. Soccer fields, the same thing. You know, some of the soccer fields we have in town, both the league play and the city play that goes on there, they're limited to a certain amount of participants that actually pay to play. We don't see other, you know, you have the campgrounds as an example. I don't anticipate anybody's going to be checking their driver's license to see where they're from when they come and rent a camp spot.
Right. First come, first serve.
First come, first serve, or on a rental basis, a reservation basis if we do that. If it's popular enough, we would probably go reservations, right?
Generally, there's a whole other line of questioning, which is, especially when you look at this development that's planned there, with all the growth that we're experiencing, I think we need more green open spaces. I believe in investing in our parks. And for me, this is not a controversial issue of it's transferring from the county to the city. You know, if the city has a vision for it and is willing to invest resources, I mean, we're serving the same population. But, you know, perhaps when it's right there within your city boundaries, the city might be able to do a better job of maintaining and operating it. And with the county department spread thin across the entire county. So I'm open to this concept. I guess the question that I would have is, I wouldn't want to lease it without those commitments from the city to make investments.
Right.
And to make the improvements. If as long as the city does that, I think it's a win-win here. What comments do you have about the commitments? I would imagine that would be drafted into the legal contract of the amount of money you're going to invest. I don't know, has the developer already agreed to put in this regional park on the north side? Maybe give some
Yeah, the there. Developer, I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn around and look at my parks guy because I'm pretty sure I got this right. The developer, as part of his community plan, is committed to build his portion of the park. Okay?
Yes.
That is correct. Okay. So this will be, if you
which will be transferred to the city?
Generally, it is. Is all of this transferred to the city?
Yes.
Okay. So the answer to that, I wasn't sure about. Commissioner Lee asked me this question once when I talked to him, and you know, on the cost issue, the reason we're asking for just a lease, you know, a very low amount lease for 100 years, or just the gift with commitments, we're happy to do that, is because we've went through an open space analysis in the city. We've actually started this a few years ago. We just had it revised recently and had a presentation. There's facilities we know we need to add in town, in the boundaries of Lehigh City. We have purchased recently a 72-acre parcel that is part of that, and 55. We've kind of extended ourselves on property purchase. So we don't have the funds to purchase anything. If we do, then we can't build the facilities. Right now, we're budgeting for facilities. We will budget, and we can commit to budgeting the construction and maintenance of facilities in this park as part of that agreement. And okay. And if there was ever an issue, we could have, I think in the Saratoga agreement, there's a term in there that says that the city will never sell part of that land, and that will remain a park. And we're happy to have that that as part of the agreement.
So I believe, and Rob, you can correct me, I think that the state limits us on long-term leases to 50 years. Is that correct?
You're talking about the Interlocal Cooperation Act, and we typically have taken that position. I'm trying to pull up the 2014 agreement with Saratoga Springs.
I don't know if that's, anyway, that can be worked out.
Right.
And you'd be fine, and I would assume, because we're looking at the front end of a long time, 50 years, 100 years, that's a long time down the road, with an agreement that a certain level will be maintained at that to keep it, you know, at the pristine level or at an adequate level, that it would be a park in which people would want to go to and continue to go to in the future, not to run down and be dilapidated.
That is absolutely
20, 40
the
years from now.
Right. Yeah. And that's why the long-term agreement, that's why we suggested 100 years or the purchase agreement, is because we want to make sure if we commit to these facilities and we keep dumping money into the budget every single year and we make improvements, we want to make sure that we secure it for a long period of time.
Sure.
I mean, we are serving the very same people.
Right. And Mayor, you kind of answered my only question. My question was regarding the camping, is just ensuring that fee structures would be same for all citizens. And
yeah,
as long as that's consistent, that was my only concern.
Yeah, so we've been down through it. We realize there's some improvements that probably could be made there. We'd like to make those. It gets quite a bit of use. We think we can actually make it inviting enough that it'll get pretty good demand down there.
Now, we might end up having the same conversation with the mayor of American Fork and the mayor of Highland, but
actually it's the mayor of American Fork and the mayor of Lehigh, because I've been discussing that with American Fork as well.
Well, but what I was going to say is, do you have any interest in equestrian services as well?
Okay. But we're not there. Dave Bunker and I have had a number of conversations. We wanted to take one bite at a time.
Right.
But yes, there's been, he called me immediately when he found out about it and wanted to know if we'd be interested. I said, we absolutely would be interested in that. But I informed him we're also working on this other proposal. I said, let us get through one first, and then we'll get together and we'll work on a proposal.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other comment on that, then we'll go to agenda item number 2, work session. I look about contract.
Chris Paulson, Utah County Assessor. The I look about contract has gone through an RFP, and we agreed to go ahead with the contracting. We've taken a little longer than I wanted to on the RFP and the contracting and everything. We're hoping to get part of that phase one done in the 2019 budget, but that didn't happen. So We're going to do all of it based on what has already been allocated for 2020. The reason we're doing that is because if we push back phase one, we're looking at a completion date in April, probably the end of April, which means we don't have to hire the additional employees that we were anticipating hiring until probably end of the second quarter, beginning of third quarter. So that frees up the funds that we can pay for the phase one without making any adjustments to the budget. We'll just have to move funds out of the 1100 and 1300 account into the appropriate funding to pull that off. So that was the big issue, is just the funding because of the delays. But I think we can work all that out within the current budget. So if you have any questions about the contract, it's Paul Jones reviewed it, and we've been going back and forth making sure that both parties were happy with it, and they have signed it. So
I don't have any questions.
I don't have specific questions. Obviously, I wasn't around for the RFP, really, of this one. But I think certainly that approach that you said makes sense. I think that our process would be to confirm with Deneen prior to the execution of the contract that those funds have actually been transferred from the wages. I think we would approve that so that it's available for the contract.
And I think we can move those at any time, can't we? So
I think they just want that to be done before it's on the agenda. So
we can transfer that before that happens. Yes.
Okay.
So thank all you. Right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. We've got item number three about a maintenance agreement with a copier.
I'm actually not sure how this ended up on the work session. There are three almost identical contracts. Two of them ended up on the regular agenda, and this one ended up on this one. I don't know if I pushed the wrong button or somebody else did, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay. Well, maybe just since it seems like they're all the same for the other ones that are on the regular agenda, yep. Maybe just give us the quick overview of, is there anything out of the ordinary here? And
no, pretty routine renewal of maintenance agreements for copy machines.
And these are the same? Are these new copiers?
No, they're older ones.
Old ones, so we're just renewing the same maintenance agreements.
Yep.
Okay, and this is all budgeted for?
Yep. Well, as far as I know, I mean, they're for other departments, so I'm assuming okay. It is.
All right, well, that saved us asking you that same question at the regular agenda. Right. Thank you.
Looks like I'm on number four as well.
Number four. Go ahead.
Actually, not sure why this is on the work session either. I understand there are some questions about it.
Yeah, so walk us through what this is.
These are just the purchase of the tags, to the ID tags to put on countable property, so we keep track of them. We order them in bulk because the more tags you order, the better price you get. This is probably like a 3 or 4 year supply of them.
These go on to computers, iPads,
pretty much
screens,
yeah.
Everything.
Pretty much everything. I mean, we're only required to tag the higher value things for financial reasons, but we tag lower value things as well. You know, personal appeal items that might tend to walk away. You know, the departments will track those while we track the higher dollar item things.
There you go. There's one right there.
Yep. It might have been part of the question. Might have been. I guess this comes out of the non-departmental budget. So I don't know if that was an issue. Why that?
Well, I think there was a question too about whether there's budget for this and whether these were asked for in the budget. So let me ask Deneen, do we have a line item for this?
Yes, it'd just be special department supplies and non-departmental, and there's $2,000 available in that budget line currently. The last purchase of these was in 2016, and quantity of 7,000 was purchased at that time.
And how much are we talking about spending here?
So $7,000, or 7,000 tags would be $1,200.
Okay.
Roughly.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Robert. Any other questions? Okay. Number five.
Can we continue that for 2 weeks?
I think we can continue item number five. I think that, that was a reaction. I think that these are relatively significant changes in policy. So I think certainly want to make sure that it's been through attorney, public works, you know, everything. I also want to make sure that we're using the right travel policy. I know that our travel policy has been revised somewhat recently. So I wasn't sure if what was being redlined was the old policy or the most updated one. So anyway, but okay, so do we need a motion to continue that? Or
No, I think we can just continue. Okay. Would you visit with me, though? I have some questions that I'd love to have some discussion with.
Okay. Okay, we'll move to item number six.
Item six and seven, if I can head you off. If it's, so the agenda system has been revamped. Now we have a button on there that they can click to go work session or onto the agenda. So that's on there now. It wasn't previously. And so everything kind of got thrown on. I think it's part of probably Robert's, a little bit of his as well. And so these items, six and seven from the health department, they would prefer that it just, I mean, it normally would just go on our agenda without a work session, unless there's a need that you see that we need to bring it here.
I don't know if there's a need, but it also, I mean, if they have representation here.
Yeah, and he's here for that, just in case.
Yeah.
I said, you come, but in the future, they'll probably just click. The button's now available.
Sure. So, do you have any questions? Or can
I? Well, actually, just because I had questions, me personally, but some directed it to me because some HIV prevention has been in the news lately here in Utah, and so I had someone that had asked if this had anything to do with the state's recent efforts, and I didn't feel like it did, but maybe if you could just briefly describe what the amendment does and how it benefits the public.
Okay, so this amendment is adding almost $6,000, I think it's $5,875 in additional federal funds for specifically for testing residents, individuals for HIV, and in the contract we're to test 300 individuals, and we also are to link individuals to services that they test positive, and also individuals who, even if they don't test positive, to also ensure that they're linked to resources as well. Part of our requirement is to provide free testing and notification to partners of individuals who test positive for HIV. And then there's a whole process, obviously, with epidemiology, disease tracking, where we record the information into the state system. It's called NEDS. And we complete reports. Part of the funding requires that we train staff to make sure that they're qualified to do those things. But to answer your original question, so that's what it's for.
Perfect.
Is as far as the messaging and the truly bizarre state program that went on, as far as I know, none of that has been distributed to the health department as a part of this or for us to distribute at all. So I'm not aware of any, I don't think anything ever came to the health department for that purpose.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
Any other questions?
Not on that one. Let's go to number seven.
Okay.
What is this agreement in number seven?
So the Utah Highway Safety Office offers it's kind of a unique offering. It's called a fixed price deliverable. The health department performs requirements for this funding, and this funding is specifically for the purchase of child for car seats to for low-income families. A minimum of 150 car seats is to be distributed to low-income residents here in our county. And also, along with that, we are required to do a minimum of 300 car seat checks to train parents on how to properly use and install car seats, because 90% of the car seats out there in our roadways are used in incorrectly. And so that's the purpose of that. We also participate in awareness activities that are statewide. And we also serve as the expert trainers for community volunteers that help out at child passenger safety events, car seat checks, community activities like that, and Child Passenger Safety Week. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
And all of those expenses are covered from state funds.
It's Utah Highway Safety Office funding for the car seats. We also have funding through the Utah Department of Health Violence Injury Prevention Program to then do, you may have heard of the Utah County Safe Kids Coalition. There's a state coalition. It's all injury prevention related. We have trained health educators also that are certified traffic safety car seat specialists that help with this too. Lots of a big thrust for trying to prevent tragic automobile related fatality and injury due to car seat, you know, car accidents and things like that. So,
okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I don't have any additional questions.
Any other questions, Commissioner Lee? Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, number eight. Adopt resolution. Well, this is about the interlocal agreement with Springville for construction of 1200 West.
Yes, this is the agreement that was on the agenda last week, had some discussion on it. It was continued at that point. Had some conversations with Springville City early this week regarding the areas that had, I think, the most questions that were brought up in the last meeting that regarded the corridor preservation portion of that agreement. Well, Springville has opted to pull that part completely out and just do the agreement for what would be the funded project. So we've actually revised it, gone back to the standard agreement that would take all of that corridor preservation portion of it out. I think that's where the majority
of all those bullet points that we had those weird language.
Yep. So all of that is gone. I've been working a little bit with Rob on it. We're hopeful to have the revised agreement ready for you next week with the language on the 2218 funding, like we've talked about on that. Other than that, it would just be the standard agreement for that 1200 West project. I believe it's phase three.
I think that addresses the two major points that were brought up.
It was mainly, you know, we were doing this without, we didn't want any risk or any financial burden.
Yep.
Placed on us. If they want to go ahead and do this, we were. I'm personally fine with going down that road, but we didn't want to be using our credit or the dollars.
Correct.
And then also we didn't want to have anything come back to us and say, now you're responsible.
And it was really complicating it with that corridor money in there. And, so we've talked to them. They're pulling that clear out, and I think we should be in good shape.
Okay. So we'll get some language on that.
Yeah. So we'll have that before your meeting next week. So.
Okay. Number nine.
Yes, I believe all of you have had an email correspondence from Adam on this one regarding this is a grant application to the Utah Department of Agriculture for some of the frag mite control. This is where we're applying for money to help with the frag control around the lake. There is a deadline that's coming up here, so I think we'll be looking probably this being a ratification next week based on the responses we've got back on previous emails. So. Any questions on the grant?
I don't have any questions about that. But that may be a ratification. Yep. Maybe we'll circle back to a couple other,
The deadline on that's January 25th.
Saturday, but essentially Friday. So, and that's the same thing on item 12. One is for frag mite, one is for the garlic mustard. So they're the same situation on both of those.
Got it.
Both. How much heads up do you get on those?
Sorry?
How much heads up do you get on those instead of going through the ratification process? I'm just curious.
I think on this one, with our weeds crew, with the change in the format of the commission meetings, it kind of caught him off guard that we had a work session one week and a regular session the following week. He was anticipating that we had the meeting each week. And so it was a little, we usually have about a month's notice or so. So it's typically not going to be a problem to do that. We just need to bring them on a little bit earlier than what we did with this one. So,
okay. Number 11.
I have number 11 and number 15 go together. Maybe we can have Peggy come and talk a little bit about.
It's number 10.
Mind. Let's go to number 10.
Number 10 and number 15. Sorry, those two are the same project. One is for the approval of the compliance agreement, and one is actually the travel route and restoration agreement. But they do go hand in hand. It's for the same project, and it is for the Assumption Sand and Gravel Incorporated. It's a mining operation out in the Alberta area. I believe it's off Tunnel Road, if I remember right.
Yeah, just barely off.
So I don't know if there's questions on that. It's a new gravel pit that's opening up out in the area. So. We've gone through the process for the the routes and the bonding and things of that nature for that.
My questions will all be centered around the travel routes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a single route, and do we have some buy-in from neighbors or any that are around there? Do they understand what that means and how that can impact them? Or do we have alternative travel routes in case we start to load up on a certain area? I mean, when work happens, you can have trucks backed up,
yep,
nose to tail all the way down. And so I'm just wondering if we have one single plan for that, or if we have multiple plans.
The main route would be out of the pit on the tunnel road and then out to Highway 6. The only other option would be to go south on tunnel road and come around past the church dairy. That's a lot more circuitous route to get out there. I wouldn't anticipate them being there. Mr. Sumption is here if you have direct questions on that as well. But we would anticipate them coming out to Highway 6. And I don't even know if there's any homes along the route.
Yeah, Peggy Kelsey from Community Development. There's no homes out there. He's not too far off of the highway to get there. So, and this also is a travel route for two additional pits that are further south. So.
And this meets all of the typical criteria? You don't see any?
Yeah, it does. This pit was actually operated around 2003, 2004 originally, and then it was leased to another operator. He did reclamation, and then Mr. Sumption just wanted to get it open back up, and so we've been working on that for a few years, because since then we had the travel road requirements that he had to meet.
This pit's actually been in existence.
Brent Sumption. This pit's actually been in existence since the 60s and 70s. Kennecott Copper used to use it as a sand backfill source for the Bergen and the Trixie mines. And our company, my family's company, would process sand and haul it up to the mines in those days. And then later on, we ended up buying the property in 1989 from Kennecott, and have operated it as a gravel pit ever since. We have leased it out at times, and when we leased it out, then they terminated the contract and reclaimed it. We didn't really want them to do that. They did it without us knowing it. So ever since then, we've been trying to get this thing reestablished, but it's only a 1 mile stretch of road, of tunnel road. In those days, we used to maintain the road ourselves, and then the county decided they wanted to pave it, and so now we're dealing with the preservation of that 2 inches of asphalt that's been put on it. But anyway, I just wanted you to understand that this thing has been a gravel pit for a long, long time.
So the roads then, you said 1 mile?
1 mile.
1 mile county, and then you're on Highway 6.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And for information, attached to the agenda is a travel route roads analysis done by CMT Engineering, which basically did a geotech study and pavement design study. Relates to this.
And is there any kind of summary statement on that analysis?
Basically, that they just did some investigation and they didn't see any problems, as far as I can tell.
We had an estimate done by contractors to what it would take to refurbish it if it deteriorates. Maximum, you know, worst case scenario, if it starts breaking up, then we've bonded the cost of resurfacing the thing with two more inches of asphalt.
One of these items is. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll move to number 11.
All right. Number 11 is a consideration of a lease on the old IRS building over here on 100 North. And as we've been talking with the sheriff's office, they would like to move the SVU unit that's in the historic courthouse into that building. I believe you guys have actually been and looked at the building over on First North Avenue and feel like it would work well for that. It would also free up some space here on this campus. This would be a lease agreement with Mr. Singler. John Singler for that facility. I don't know if you have any questions specific on that or for the sheriff's office.
I remember speaking with the sheriff's office that this would be a good fit. They mm-hmm. were going to check on it. Sounds like that has been the yep. case. My biggest issue with this property has been, you know, for some of the other departments, we've been involved in some lease negotiations. Mm-hmm. And the price expectations for this building, when you look at the current state of the building and how it's situated and its floor plan and everything, the pricing expectations have been higher than what we've seen elsewhere in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There was a similar building that I think you were looking at together with one of the other departments that, if I understand,
it was quite a bit cheaper.
It was actually listed at $9.
$9.75
a foot. And that was not triple net, even.
Yeah, the $9.75 was a triple net.
It was triple
yes.
net.
Okay. It worked out to be about $15 all in.
Okay.
This one, I believe, is $19.05 is where it comes in at, if you do the all-in option.
And let's walk through. So they're proposing a $13 square foot triple net. Is that right?
I believe so. Let me find that right. Get the right paper here somewhere.
That's what it says here. Plus the management fee, 5%.
Yeah, $13 a foot on the triple net. When you go all in on it, it works out to be about $19.05 a foot.
Now, who did those calculations? Is that you or is that them?
This is from them.
So they are itemizing all of these items that they would include in a gross.
Yes.
But if we entered into a triple net, would you recommend doing all these items, or would you recommend putting it into the public works portfolio and handling those?
We could look at it either way. I think there's some things that it makes more sense to include on theirs. You know, as we get down, let's see, where is it here on the snow removal? That's something we can easily do with our crews. We're already here on this site. It's not a big deal to take care of that. We could even look at doing the grounds maintenance. You know, so there are definitely parts of it that we could do fairly easily. I think it's probably a combination of both would be probably the most cost-effective way to do it.
And is there any tenant improvements being offered by the landlord?
I don't think so on this one. I don't think there's any needed at this point.
And you're not, and the sheriff's department is not saying that you would need significant improvements in there?
Speaking with SVU, right off the bat, no. The entryway would need some improvement with our sex offender registry. We would have to set up for a secure area to be able to have sex offenders come in. Is there any other major improvements besides that we would need right off?
That's the main one, just providing also a waiting area for our victims that come
in. So have we started to look at estimates at all?
We have not.
To doing something like that, stuff like that, okay. And is there a, have you been talking about a duration of this lease?
I think you're talking about a 5-year with a possible 5-year, it's not on this paper here, but I think it was a 5-year with a possible 5-year extension.
For me, I think that this could make sense. This could be a great sense, and I could be supportive of this, just speaking for myself. I don't think this is the right set of terms for the county to move forward. And so if the landlord would like the county to enter into a lease, I think he needs to look at the market. I mean, we are well aware of a transaction that just happened in the exact same market.
Just at a blocks away.
So, I mean, there's just a reality there that I think we need to bridge. If anything, the county is an incredible tenant. we can enter into a long-term lease. We're a credit tenant. We're one of the best tenants in downtown Provo. If anything, a landlord would make additional concessions to us, not charge us a premium price.
Okay.
So I guess that's my view. I hope that the sheriff's department can kind of, at least from my perspective, I don't know other comments, understand where that's coming from. This is a, and this is kind of an odd forum to have this conversation. I don't know where negotiations are at, but certainly from the county's negotiation standpoint, that is where I feel.
Okay, and I'm okay with that. For one of the biggest things, this is a need for us that we feel like we've just been in a stalemate. We've proposed several things and asked several things, and we get no response really to what we can do with it. So moving forward, if that's the direction you want us to go, that's perfectly fine. We need to go a direction. That where we're at is just not working for our operations.
No question. And I guess that's the, at least for me, it's if he wants to come to a fair price, and if we want to fine tune what we think the actual costs would be for the county to maintain this and to have it become, then we could make it work, right?
I think absolutely we could.
And maybe there's things that you can trade for pricing, like how long the lease is and things like that, to make sure that we feel like the county is getting a good deal.
What would be a good thing to do at this point is don't put it on next week's agenda. Give us a couple of weeks. Let us, between the sheriff's office and our office, go back and meet with the landlord and see what we can come up with and bring a proposal.
Is it worth you reporting at all? Does this represent just kind of some terms that have gone? Does this represent a negotiation that you're proposing, or
this is what he proposed to us as, here's what I would like for the building?
Okay.
Yep. Okay. It's kind of interesting because this space has been talked about with other entities, yep, not just us.
Correct.
And I'd have to go back and look at some of my notes, but this seems higher than what I've seen.
It is a little
offered
higher
to others.
Yep. Based on the age of the building, the size, things like that, it is a little higher. Now, other office space in downtown Provo.
Well, you're not just saying.
Not just that. I mean, even offered in the past to others.
For the same
this
exact
building.
For
the same exact building.
Now, this is the only proposal I've seen on this building.
But I'm outside of the county. There are other agencies that have been looking at it, too. Yeah, some boards
like
that I've sent on.
This is the only one
I've
seen, so I don't have anything to compare
with.
Interesting.
Okay. I could be wrong with
and
that.
And one of those boards, who apparently may have been competing on this space, we know already paid the lower price, right?
Yeah.
So
that's and mm-hmm. Again, I'd have to look at my numbers, but if my memory serves me, there were some different numbers in there.
Good to know.
And some of the terms too, and I didn't get into the terms as much.
Okay.
We'll work on that and then bring it back to you.
Thank you. Okay, item, I guess we're moving on from 12, 13?
Yeah, this is just a subdivision bond agreement for a subdivision that would be presented for approval. CJC Arabian Farms is out in the West Mountain area. I believe it's just a one lot subdivision.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this one is on here as well.
I think it might be kind
of
the same sort of thing.
Because we already approved this subdivision, right? So this is just the bond.
Yes, this is just the bond agreement. So.
Okay. All right, and then 14?
Pretty straightforward. So 14, this is up just below the Thistle Slide and above our Spanish Fork River Park, the old highway that's down at the bottom of the canyon. There's a gate up at the end of that road where it crosses the river and goes into some private property. There's an area there that people tend to frequent to shoot. Have typically left a lot of trash. We've had power poles. I believe you guys have seen some of the pictures of power poles that have been shot through up in that area. We've had stray bullets that are stray or maybe aimed, I don't know, bullets that have wound up around our long range on our county facility up at the top of the slide. What the proposal is, we would actually move the gate down canyon about a half a mile to where the pavement ends. So there's an area there where we have a good controllable area to move the gate. We feel like that would get rid of some of the the nuisances we've got going up on there and have the people not up there shooting up into our range and not leaving the trash. It would be more of a visible area. So it'd just simply be moving the gate down canyon a little bit.
So I remember this property. I remember going up there, mm-hmm. and we talked about possibly archery range. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was all kinds of conversations that we had up there. The biggest question I have here is that if we put a gate across that road, do we have any prescriptive rights, easement rights of people who want to travel up there? Are we going to be...
There are two landowners that access their property through this road. They currently have a key to the gate that's there now. We'd provide them a key for that as well. Beyond that, I don't know, Rob, if we'd have to do anything more than that with the road itself.
Because we talked about vacating it, too, at one point in time, but yeah, I don't know how we'd do that if we have people going up there.
If you vacate the road, then the people would still have rights to that road.
Yeah.
The landowners.
It's a private road, yeah.
But not just general public. We could put a gate down there.
You can also authorize a gate to be placed on a road and close it from time to time, or even semi-permanently. So you have the ability to do that. I mean, it's you have jurisdiction over this road, and so you have the ability to control access and things of that nature in the road.
Okay.
So is that what is the proposed, if we install the gate, when are we planning on?
So there's already a gate there, is that right?
Yeah, there's currently a gate there where the road crosses the river. We would simply move that gate down canyon about a half a mile.
And keep it?
Basically closed.
24/7?
Pretty much always.
But there were people, if I remember correctly, on the other side of the river that even when we were up there.
There's two private landowners on the other side of the river. They would be provided a key. They would still have access. Okay. Like they do currently. They currently have a key to the gate that's there now. We'd simply...
So their access would not change.
Right. Yep.
And part of the concern, on a safety measure, part of the concern was you're on one side of the road shooting. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes up the other side of the road to access their property or to shoot as well, because that seems to be an area where people like to go up and shoot.
And we've had conversations with both the landowners. They're both supportive of this. They feel like it's a good idea.
So they may wind up with more people up their side of the road, but...
Well, you can't get on the other side. There's a private road down canyon about a mile and a half is the only other access across the river. And it's gated at that point. It's not a public road.
Okay.
So they.
I just remember seeing the people on the other side when we were up there.
You can walk in there, but you can't get there by vehicle.
Okay.
You're going for the full sweep here on the agenda item.
Yeah, I'm trying. So
number.
We already talked 15.
16.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a letter on the agenda for the FEMA application for the Thistle Tunnel. What this is the application. For that same thing that we didn't realize at the time, we had an application that needed signed as well, but that's what this is, the application for that same funding stream.
Okay. I guess as a note, I assume that you saw the bill that it was introduced by Senator Romney and Representative Curtis.
Yes, I have.
For the matching funds.
I like that.
Okay.
I think that's a move in the right direction. Yep.
Yeah, I appreciated their responsiveness to that issue. 17.
17 is an interlocal agreement with Pleasant Grove City. We talked about this at the time that we did the interlocal for the construction of Canyon Road, that Pleasant Grove, as part of the interlocal with Pleasant Grove on the construction and eventual ownership of Canyon Road, Pleasant Grove agreed to take the snow removal for their portion. What this would be is the interlocal for them to also do the portion that's inside Cedar Hills, so that we don't have to send a truck up for that short section up there. They have actually been doing it. They did it last year through the construction and have already been working on it this year, but we'd like to formalize that into an agreement. The proposal would be that we would pay them $7,000 per year to do that. There'd be some years that would be in our favor. There'd be some years that would be in their favor. One of the provisions in there is if we happen to have a year that's very heavy that we would negotiate for us to provide more salt to them. So the salt would be on us to provide the extra. They would provide the extra vehicle time and manpower to plow it. That wouldn't be additional cost other than we'd provide more salt if needed. That would be something we would negotiate if we had a heavy winter. That's what the proposal is. This would take it all the way to SR 92 at American Fork Canyon.
And that'd be nice because there's all kinds of allegations of plows lifting their buckets up and then putting them back down because that road goes Pleasant Grove,
Oh, yeah, you zigzag in and out. Yeah.
This will be nice to have one all the way through.
Yep.
Danine, I know that in the agenda system, I think you had some comments about the pricing structure here.
Right. I don't have a problem with the $7,000. I just thought that if it's $700 per plow, that it might make sense to pay them that every single time so they're getting money throughout the season because they have personnel costs and material costs. And then if for some reason that doesn't meet the minimum $7,000, then we could true up at the end of the season with that. Just probably with the attorney's office, not really makes sense to go into a lot of detail during this meeting, but it seems like there was some timing issues with when invoices were due that didn't really make a lot of sense.
I think we've got that resolved. Okay. It was kind of a duplicated wording in there, and I think we've corrected that. We did talk about the doing it per trip with the city. They preferred to have it be a one-time, once a year payment is what how they would prefer to do it. What we talked about with them as well, this would be a three-year contract. They would track it over that 3 years, and then as we renegotiate it at the end of that, we would say, okay, is it this number is based on what they've done last year, and then so that's we've got a little bit of a basis to go on from it, and then from there we would look at it and adjust for agreements going forward.
Yeah, unless they just buy the road.
Yeah, but this is the part in Cedar Hills, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So what was that, if I remember, and I could be off on that, but I thought it was $3,500 for Pleasant Grove's part. Did they just double it so they could do Cedar Hills? Is that kind of how that happened for the $7,000?
The snowplow cost?
Yeah.
That was the original estimate. As they have plowed it for a year, this is what they feel like the Cedar Hills portion actually cost them when they did it last year. So you know, that's something they've done without being paid at this point. So it does contemplate that we would pay them for both last year and this year's snowplowing that they've done prior to this agreement being done. So,
okay, because most of the roads in Pleasant Grove,
it's about 2/3, 1/3. Yep.
All right. All right. So.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think along that line, I guess we're not taking any action today anyway. But yeah, if you're saying it's 2/3, 1/3, but their actual budget or what it cost, it looks like it's being split 50-50. Like we should just. If we have a basis of what it was last year, we should be able to verify.
And that's where the 7,000 is what the actual cost was for the Cedar Hills portion.
Okay.
Yep, that's where that came from.
The whole thing.
Everything that's in Cedar Hills, not the entire length of the road, but everything that's in the Cedar Hills portion of it.
Oh, the 7,000 is just the Cedar Hills
correct.
Portion?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, that seems.
That's based on their cost that they tracked last year. So.
Okay. Well, yep. They tracked it.
And Richard, okay. Is the intent that the first payment would be made in February of 2020?
Yeah, presumably that if this agreement were approved next week, that we would have a bill that would be due next month. So,
okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. I think now we've got Rebecca Martel with the CJC.
Hello.
Hello.
Mostly I just wanted to be able to answer any questions that you guys have about this lease. We at the Children's Justice Center and our advisory board and our friends board have long recognized that we really need services available in North County. And so this is something we've kind of been working on. Our long-term plan is we would do this lease for a year and then be applying for community development block grants through their friends. To purchase property that we would then lease to the county, similar to what we do in Provo.
My first question, Rebecca, with this additional facility, how many additional clients do you expect to be able to serve?
350. And we actually have some information from law enforcement that it could potentially be a lot more than that, but I think initially it'll be about 350.
And we've talked about in your budget being able to, I know that the county, my recollection is that we focus mostly on from the county general fund of being supportive of the staffing that's needed
yes.
for this location. So the actual costs under this lease, what's the funding source?
for that?
So it would be two different funding sources. The Friends, which is the private piece, would be initially paying for it, and then we are going into this legislative session asking for state appropriations to support the center. So that would kind of continue paying for the lease.
And this is separate from, you know, some of the personnel costs, for example, they may still be covered by state funds. But I know, at least in our conversations, if we were to go ahead with a hire right now and those funds don't come through, then that's a county expense.
Yes.
Directly from the county general fund. On this, is there a scenario where this lease comes out of county general fund contributions?
No.
No.
So we have a, you know, the Friends Board has voted to the $12,000 in funds, and they're very supportive of this project. So if for some reason we don't get state appropriations, they have given verbal commitment that they will continue to pay for it.
That's one. That's a pretty unique situation that we have nonprofit members in the community willing to come and support this, and we're supporting the staffing to serve 350 victims of crime. So thank you. Thank you for giving us some background on this.
Just a quick question.
So is this going to be on? Well, I guess that's what we need to decide now.
Yeah, I think it was a question.
Go ahead.
How likely are you to extend the lease term after the initial year?
So if the Friends are awarded the CDBG funds, those would be available in starting July. And so it really just depends on that, if they receive that funding. So that's why we wanted to do it for a year with the option to do month to month after that. Also recognizing that if we purchase a property, there's going to have to be renovations and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just one thing for the commission to be aware of is we have a new accounting standard, GASB 87, where even for operating leases, we have to do a whole bunch of disclosures. And so even if the lease term is a year with a opportunity to extend, that invokes those additional disclosures. Just a period of a year, we don't have to do any disclosures. So if there's any flexibility in keeping it to 1 year leases, that helps on the back end accounting side.
I've got to say, unfortunately, this is one where I don't side with the accountants, because if the accountants are asking you to disclose something that is only in our favor and it couldn't possibly be a liability because it's at our option.
Oh. Believe me, like, actually what's interesting about this one is FASB has pushed back. Usually GASB's the late adopter and GASB's the early adopter on this. So, I'm with you.
So unfortunately, even if that creates some suffering in your department, I think if it's beneficial for us to have an extension, then we should have that. So
I should clarify that the suffering is going to be on the department to enter into the leases. We're just the reporting mechanism. So
okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Rebecca.
Okay, so I think we're just looking at our notes, trying to find a motion for continuing this. I think Commissioner Lee is working on that, on what's continued to the next.
So I have number one, obviously, was a presentation. There's some work needs to be done there. It looks like number five was asked to be continued, you know, till we go to the next work session. Others, though, I don't have any notes on there. They're saying that we couldn't just put these on the agenda.
Right.
And you see the same?
I see it the same.
Mm-hmm. So what was it, number 11?
Yeah.
No, the IRS.
Oh, yeah, yes, thank you. Okay, so I don't know if that's we're not really making a motion. Is that just
we don't
kind
need
of direction?
To,
direction that,
I don't think we need to do anything with the ones we're not taking any action on. But I think it's always just helpful to those that we do want to place on consent to clearly do that. Yeah,
right.
Commissioners, real briefly on two of these, if I could. Coming back to number 18, the CJC contract, based upon the discussion you just had, and I'm looking through the contract now, proposed contract, it may be advisable to put a non-funding clause in this lease agreement if the landlord would be willing to accept that, given the fact that there's some issues as to the funding of this CJC facility. That way you don't have any concerns that it would eventually, if it's not funded,
we can get out of the contract.
So actually on page 2, if you look at early termination, we do have a clause in there that with written notice we can do early termination. Very Would good. That cover?
Let me look.
That I'm it's on to find 2I. So under 2A, and then there's an I, early termination, page 2.
That would work. You just provide 60 days notice without cause. So that should apply for that. Thank you. Thank you. Number 1 on that Lehigh request, Villa Park transfer, I did pull up the contract we had on the Inlet Park, which I'm assuming is the one they're referring to, and that was a, we did deed the property over to them. To Saratoga Springs in 2014. It was not a lease agreement. And so if you're inclined to do something along, if you're inclined to put this on the agenda for a motion, you know, on our regular agenda, we would need to draft that agreement.
Yeah, I think this one would not go on because that was just a presentation.
Correct.
But the now that they've been here, I'm sure they will try to be working their way onto okay. that agenda.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
So it appears then that we would hold number 1, number 5, and number 11 off with the others going on to our regular agenda for action.
Second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second that all of the items stated will be placed on the consent agenda for our next commission meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Actually, I don't even think we're voting on that.
Yes, it's just a statement, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a direction for Kelly.
And now, do we need to adjourn from this meeting?
Yes, you have a different
meeting. To do our vote hearing? Okay. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It passes 3-0. Okay. Welcome to our public hearing.